gentlemen, boys and girls, pets and creatures of every make and model, fans of entertainment, shenanigans alike. Welcome back to Legends Podcast. I'm Beef.
I'm Wing.
And I'm John Lobster. In a rare turn of events, Legends Podcast tackles a television show. We're talking about the science fiction gone horribly wrong anthology series from the twisted mind of Charlie Booker. Originally on Channel 4 in the UK, Netflix picked up the show because, of course, they did. They play for keeps. To facilitate our discussion, we've made up a little game of our own. The rules are simple. Each host picks an episode and we discuss. Join us as we stare into the void of Black Mirror.
Okay, as the newbie, you guys played a little trick on me
We basically took
three episodes about the same topic.
Well, what we
show is about the same topic, Wing.
It's not always brainwashing and the other world in the brain of people. I mean,
no, but that's just the ones that we find the best. No, we didn't do that on purpose.
So here's how it worked. We decided that we would talk about three episodes out of the four seasons of the show. Now, we ruled out the episode White Christmas because it's kind of it's like a three-part story, and it's also longer. We ruled out Hated in the Nation, which is the movie-length episode at the end of season three, and we ruled out Black Museum, which is the three-part story. Really, it tells multiple stories, connects a lot of Black Mirror at the end of season four. So we ruled out those episodes just to pick kind of the standalone stories. And so Beef, I believe, got first pick, right?
I did get first pick here, and I chose White Bear.
White Bear. And then I think I went second or third.
Actually, the real thing is that you asked me to choose an episode, and the only thing I could repeat was, I'm taking the Star Trek episode.
Yeah, so we kind of knew.
Technically, I got first pick.
So you got first pick. You wanted to do the Star Trek episode USS Callister from season four, and I picked season three San Junipero. And what's kind of cool about Black Mirror is it is an anthology series. So each episode theoretically stands on its own. So unlike a normal television show, we can talk about episodes individually without spoiling overall arcs of the show. So it would be tough because we're not a television podcast. It's tough for us to really talk about shows, but this, I think, works well. When did you guys first check out Black Mirror?
Recently.
Shark Taco was watching it, so.
I just mainlined it probably a few months before season four came out.
Okay.
So.
And Wing, you're like within the last couple of weeks started watching it, right?
Well, like I said, Shark Tackle was watching it and she was like kind of binge watching it. And at some point, I just happened to be there when an episode played and like another one. I'll be honest, it did not grab me that much. Mm-hmm. So now we did this. You guys are trying to grab me as well. We'll see if that works by the end.
Yeah, and I came to this show when it first showed up on Netflix. Originally, it was on Channel 4 in jolly old England, and it wasn't available here in the States. And then Netflix had the first two seasons available, which, again, is only six episodes. So they only had six episodes that you could watch, and then they released the Christmas special. And then I guess Channel 4 canceled it, and Netflix decided to pick it up and make more, which was, I think, a smart move on their part, and also kind of creepy because they are the internet and they control our souls.
It is. It's very meta.
So what was the, and this is kind of an interesting thing, what was the first episode that you watched, Beef?
I watched it straight from the beginning. I rewatched
The National Anthem.
Yep.
Okay. And Wing, what was the first episode that you watched?
I don't know the title, but it's the guy that dies and they reconstruct him based on his social media profiles. Yep. And by the end...
Be Right Back.
Be Right Back.
By the end, he's in a robot and it's really weird.
Yeah. And that is the first episode of season two. And I also started with the first episode of season one, probably the most famous episode of Black Mirror that involves the Prime Minister and a very twisted reference to Dogma 95. Wing, you know what Dogma 95 is, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah.
I'll be honest. I know what Dogma 95 is, but I would have to go to the reference table to know which one of these movie it is.
Okay. So, yeah. Anyway, you'll see if you do check out that episode why it's important. And again, this is available on streaming. It's a show that I find to be very bingeable because you can kind of pick it up in pieces. You don't have to watch all the way through. You can skip around a little bit. Some of the episodes do relate to others, but none of the characters really cross over. We will talk about some Easter eggs and references later on. Probably we should give a spoiler warning to people that have not seen all of Black Mirror.
Yeah, big time.
In that we're going to spoil these three episodes in particular and dissect them. And we're also going to refer to other episodes of Black Mirror, but I kind of want to stay away from giving away the twists. Like, I very carefully did not give away the twists to the first episode. Just because I think this is a fun thing to discover for yourself.
Yeah, I mean, you got to go through it each way because it's what I liked about the show is it does show our relationship with technology and what we as humans always do with it is we take our newest toy and gadget, whether it's a weapon, a rock, a club, and we use it for the worst. Even this shit, it all becomes it takes the worst part of our souls and takes it to the nth degree, and then. Even if you think the episode's good, 99% of them, you kind of feel bad at the end of it and go, wow, we better be... It's all a cautionary tale in the long run, and I like that.
Yeah. And basically, it's a Twilight Zone, but all based on technology.
Right, and I was going to bring that up. So the show has been called a modern version of the Twilight Zone, not just for its sort of anthology style, but also it's kind of a what-if. And almost every episode has a moral... attached to it in terms of the use of technology, but it's also very much in tune with it exposes a character flaw of a character. And usually it'll take the technology and it'll take a character flaw, and you'll see how when you put the two together, it's just like throwing more gasoline on the fire. It's like, okay, the technology itself is pretty harmless, but once you combine it with the specific case study, then it just gets out of control.
See, I would compare it more to Outer Limits, because that was my wheelhouse when I was a kid, the reboot of Outer Limits. And that was a lot more technology-based as well, but I do see the analogy as well.
And we'll come back to a couple of these discussion questions that I am reading off of as we go through, but I think we should start with the first episode that we're going to discuss and start to dig into it.
Do we want to read the synopsis? Oh, fuck, you can't really read the synopsis.
Beef, why don't you tell us what this episode is about?
All right. This episode was, like I said, I started from the beginning. So this was the fourth or fifth episode I had watched.
Yep.
And all of them up until this point had felt, you know, very technology based, and you could see kind of what was happening. This one was the first one that actually kind of threw me off balance. A woman wakes up in a house with pills all around her. Her head hurts. Basically, she's just out of sorts, gets up and gets out of the house, and there's people all around her. Actually, she finds a picture of a young woman, a girl, flashes of memory. And she gets out of this house, and there's, like, people and voyeurs all around her taking pictures and video of her, but won't talk to her, won't help her. And then a guy comes out with a shotgun, starts shooting at her and chasing her. So, really, there was no technology to speak of except for these phones, and I was just confused as shit what was going on, and I liked that. So, yeah, I mean...
Yeah, and then, so she's running around in the woods, she's... being followed by these hunters. She meets somebody who explains that some kind of signal has turned people into zombies, and that's why they're all taking pictures and doing things.
Yeah, you're a watcher or a hunter or something.
Yeah, yeah. And then she's like tied to a log, and there's all this stuff that goes on, and then they're trying to break into the White Bear transmitter station to turn off this signal.
See, I started knowing it was going wonky when she's like, well, we'll just break in there and splash some petrol around and start it on fire.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's not how you stop a Trent. Like, no, okay.
So Victoria Scalane is this woman. And what she finds out who she is and who is she?
Well, she is a woman with her boyfriend at the time had kidnapped a young woman, a young girl. And took her and basically tortured her, killed her, and videotaped it.
Yeah.
And her boyfriend committed suicide in his cell before he could stand trial. So now what they do is they basically torment this chick. This is the White Bear Justice Park. And they torment her every day. And all the people that were watching are paid visitors to this park. It's like Six Flags or Great America, where you
like
go.
A zoo.
Yeah, yep. You observe her being tortured and terrified and running away from these hunters who are shooting blanks at her and all this psychological torture daily. And at the end of every day, they tell her what's happening. They sit her down. They like send her through the streets with flying, you know, blood quotey fingers.
In a Pope Mobile.
Yeah, in a Pope Mobile. And then they sit her down in front of a TV. They do the reboot signal where they show her the video that she shot of this little girl being tortured as they wipe her brain. And they set the house back up exactly like it was when she found it the next day. And the creepy show host guy goes down and takes the marker and checks a day off the calendar.
They do it all over again.
Which makes the fact that they brainwash her every day just makes the thing useless. How is this a punishment if you don't remember what happened?
Oh, okay.
Because they're starting to be bleed through, though. So she's getting some things because she could tell nothing happens in the woods, or she was scared of certain places. But it's not for her; it's for people's justice because her and her boyfriend didn't get justice against both of them. Now they only have the girl Victoria Scalane to get justice against. So it's for society, if you will.
And I think that's a really interesting point that Wing brings up, which is, so obviously you're torturing her with this, reliving this memory, but you're also wiping her brain, so she's forgetting her crime. She starts off every day innocent.
Yep. Yep.
And at the end of the day, it's revealed what she's done, but at the same time, she kind of dissociates from it because she also is kind of being tortured in this post-apocalyptic scenario.
Well, you feel for her, and then you feel horrified that you felt for her, and then you see what happens, and then you're horrified that you didn't feel for her more. Yeah. It's like but you can kind of see it. You can kind of see where our society at some point in time might do something like this.
And not here, I'm sorry.
Well,
not here.
I think this worldwide is a commentary. Phenomenon. I think it's a commentary on our obsession with films and television shows that depict violent things.
Even televised justice.
We are, Law and Order, SVU. Mm-hmm.
Look at the Court Channel when that first came out. I mean, just the OJ trial, because it was a big name.
Court Channel?
There used to be one. I don't know if God. Yeah, like years ago.
We also, we're also kind of obsessed with movies about horrific scenarios.
Yep.
Television shows about horrific scenarios, Saw, Walking Dead, all of that. I mean, that's already a big part of our entertainment industry. So then to combine that with this sort of social experiment in justice, rather than, trapping somebody in a cell forever where they have a comfy bed and television and three square a day, it's putting them through hell every day in sort of making them, a punishment. And then you kind of wonder, well, is her sentence that she has to do this for 10 years and then she'll be absolved, or is this like forever?
Well, we all observe our life half the time through our phones anyways. People go to concerts now and they stare at it through the Zoom on their phone. I think that's a commentary on that too. You're desensitized by whatever you do if you're staring at it through your phone.
Right. Okay. And then kind of the other question is, as the audience to this, and I mean the audience both in terms of the people that pay to go to this park, this Justice Park, and see this and take cell phone video and almost treat her as a celebrity, like they're paparazzi, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are they then complicit in this torture? I mean, because I think we all agree that this is
a step
beyond humane justice, right?
Yeah.
So then what is our complicity in that? If you believe in the death penalty, if you are someone who believes in more extreme punishments for crime versus a lot of times someone who has committed a crime, we almost treat them like celebrities. So it's kind of the catch between, are they doing this because they hate her so much, or do they now love her because of how hated she is?
Yes.
So my big problem is that this is all interesting and all that crap.
Yes.
But this thing is at least 20 minutes too long and does not really... The questions are asked because we ask the question, but the show doesn't ask the question.
Right. The show is not asking the questions for us. It is making us ponder them. I kind of don't feel that if this is a punishment scenario, I kind of don't feel like her ordeal is quite punishing enough. I know that's kind of hard to say, but like we're sympathizing with her because we're envisioning her as a survivor of this, post-apocalypse zombie cell phone wonderland. But we don't, like, there's no point in the thing where she's faced with a choice. And like if there was a moment in there where she had the choice to run away or go back and save someone, do you know what I mean? There's the other girl who like comes back and rescues her after she escapes. If it was Victoria who like had to make that choice, and invariably she always ran away because it was saying something about her character that she, she wouldn't go back and save the person, she'd let them suffer, then you could kind of like pass judgment and say, well, obviously, this is deserved. It's a character flaw in this person. But I don't know. She's always treated as the victim in it.
Yeah, I don't know. And then at the end, when the hammer gets dropped, it's just, it does hurt.
The shotgun confetti.
Yeah, poof. You're like, oh, yeah, I knew something was fishy.
I knew it was a TV show of some kind. It was not a TV show in the end. It was a performance, but I knew it was a TV show. I just needed to know what it was. And I think this particular episode would have had more effect if they gave me more clues of what was really happening, because I was way more interested in the last 5 minutes when they actually told me everything. If I was able to deduct that from the first hour of that freaking thing, I would have had way more fun than I ended up having, because I got bored halfway through it, and then they grabbed me back in the last 8 minutes.
Yeah. So you pointed out with another episode that you watched that it was too predictable.
Yep.
You felt like this one was not predictable enough, that it didn't really give you enough time to process.
The thing is that it's going to be too predictable or not enough predictable depending on the topic that they want to tackle. So in this one, I think that would have been interesting, really having to the midpoint knowing what was happening, and then as the viewer being like, oh, should I be compassionate or shouldn't I be? I was lucky because I watched it with Shark Tackle, watched it the first time not knowing, and in the middle she was like, God, that episode is good the second time. Mm-hmm. Because I know what's happening, and I did not have that experience
whatsoever. Again, when I watched this one the second time, I thought, okay, now I want to look for, you look for the seams, you look for where, you know, the curtain pulls back a little bit. Beef, I want to ask you a couple questions.
Yes.
Okay. Is this your favorite episode of Black Mirror?
No.
Do you have a favorite?
No, I was actually looking at the list before. No, I have a few that I do like relatively equally. I think, what did I tell you? I had narrowed it down to like six, I think.
What others did you consider when you were trying to pick one?
It was narrowed down to this and 15 Million Merits were the last two.
Both reality TV, kind
of? Yep, kind of. Well, yeah, 15 Million ends that way, but I had other theories on it going through it the first time. San Junipero, yours was one. What was the other one? Playtest. Hang the DJ, Crocodile. I mean, there's so many good ones because they're so messed up in so many different ways. They hurt your soul, yet you could see yourself in those situations.
What do you think? Let's go back to Twilight Zone, Outer Limits. What do you think is the moral of this episode?
Oh, God. This one, I don't know if we actually come away with one.
What do you think it teaches us about technology or society?
Oh, I think that's just, like I said before, I think people are getting more and more desensitized by looking at shit through their phone. You know, it's easier if you see it through your phone. Kids are doing a lot more dumb shit, and, well, we always did dumb shit, but...
Yeah, but it's the world through the screen. I mean, when you call customer service, you're way more aggressive than when you actually walk into a store.
Shit, I'm nicer on customer service. But no,
you're,
I mean,
too nice. Okay, you're no, nice, but, Beef. That's your problem.
Just on the phone, I am. But it's, I don't know. People get, what is it? You know, there's more trolls on the internet, so it's kind of the same way.
If you hide behind the mask of anonymity,
exactly.
And I think this does say a little bit about that. Whereas if
they built everyone, a park for Christ's sakes.
They make the point, like, don't get too close, don't speak to her. Like, if part of the thing was you had to go up to the person and tell them to their face what a horrible person you think they are and tell them why you hate them, that would be a lot more difficult. You wouldn't have as many people, I think, signing up to visit the park.
Right, exactly, because they'd have to actually interact. See,
the other end, that's perverse as fuck. Why would you want people to go watch that and to rejoice in the torture of another person? I mean,
they're pretty much doing it anyways.
Where? How?
All the people that are visiting are pretty much rejoicing
in the show.
In
life.
Yeah.
No, but I thought it'd be more interesting, too, if it wasn't just the White Bear Justice Park, if it was the some sort Justice Park, and White Bear was one of the...
Oh, one... So rather than just one person, you would want multiple criminals
there's people
getting the same treatment?
Yeah. No, look at the Westworld guys. Like, different parks. Yeah. You know, I want the one in the Old West, I want the one in the future, it's the hostel.
She can't be the worst human on the planet that they've ever caught. She murdered...
She filmed it.
So she didn't even kill the child, which, okay, I'm splitting hairs there, but I'm sure someone else on the planet, though, has killed a child as well. So I guess I was more surprised that there isn't.
Yeah, but let's be honest. If there was really, and that's not in the show, we're just having fun, because I think that's the best thing about Black Mirror. It's not really what's in the show. It's what you can talk about after. If it was real life, a guy like O.J. Simpson that you were talking, that was very publicized, would have more of that crap. That's the Unibomber.
Yeah,
you know,
or a school shooter or somebody like that.
Yeah,
I will say that I think that the episode Hated in the Nation does, I think, a better job with this material in terms of mob justice and the consequences of that. I recommend that one to check out.
Yeah, that one's very good, too. Didn't we use that one for some reason?
Yeah, I struck that off the list just because it's super long.
Yeah.
And I think that's a tough one to talk about. We would have to do like a whole show.
What's the other one too? What the chick with the positive ratings or the likes?
Yes, Nosedive.
Yeah.
That's probably the other one I've watched. That was not good.
That's probably maybe my second or third favorite.
But you can see, whether you like it or not, Wing, you can't deny that you see our society being there, or if not there, within a few steps.
I think that's a 22-minute episode. I think that's a 22-minute episode.
That
gave me an hour and 15 minutes where I was like, is this going to end? Because if this is ending exactly like... Oh, it's ending exactly.
Everything can be shorter for you.
I will say for White Bear, the best part is the end credits.
When they're resetting is the best.
Yeah. Like I said, they got me in the first 20 minutes and in the last 8 minutes. Yeah. But when they got me, they got me. The problem is that there was half an hour between the two moments they got me.
All right. Let's switch gears.
To rate them all?
So we'll rate at the end, I think. But let's switch gears and talk about the next episode on our list. Who wants to interview me about the episode I picked?
So, San Junipero. So, are you afraid to die, Lobster?
I mean, this is kind of an interesting scenario. So, one of the things I really enjoy about this episode is trying to figure out what it's about. So, it starts in 1987, and there's a very shy girl who is going to a bar in a beach resort town. She meets a very outgoing party girl named Kelly. You start to sense some chemistry between them. Eventually, they do sleep together. And then Kelly ghosts on Yorkie, and she kind of has to go looking for her. And then we start jumping through time. And that's where I'm trying to figure out what this episode is about. But it's only every Saturday and only for 5 hours or something like that.
Yeah, you caught those lines that they threw in there before time
absolutely.
Jumping. Right, okay.
There are clues. I don't have much time. I only have 5 months to live and stuff like that. And then she goes to 1980, 1996, and 2002. And we see different things that ground us in that time period, which I thought was really fun, from movies to video games and ads and vehicles, and clothing styles and music and all of that. So what we eventually learn is that this is a virtual reality, and specifically it's a virtual reality for the elderly. So in order to give them some restorative, immersive nostalgia, and at the same time, we find out that San Junipero is a place that you can have your artificial consciousness uploaded when you die. So instead of dying, you basically go into the cloud and live out your days in San Junipero.
Question for you.
That's the point I'm going to debate the most, though.
At the very end, they look like they were in a major mainframe. So are there other colonies, not just San Junipero? Are there like...
Maybe. There are other Westworlds.
Maybe they got to visit other places too, and that's the one that they liked. You know what I'm saying?
Well, there's a line in the Matrix about if it's too perfect, we reject it.
Mm-hmm.
So San Junipero isn't perfect. It rains. There's sand everywhere. Sometimes the bar is dingy and things like that.
But the fact that they know they're in a virtual reality versus the Matrix, where they're trying to fool you, I think there's a big difference. And this episode, talking about the twists, comes as a way better. I would have taken it maybe 10 minutes earlier, but I had to figure it out. I didn't care that much. But the twist comes at the 25 minute mark, which makes that episode way better if I go back to what I was criticizing about the other one. And I think that's why I love that one more than the other ones.
I think San Junipero balances the twist with the emotional arc very, very well. So there's a very clear emotional arc to San Junipero. It's a love story. It's one of the few episodes of Black Mirror that actually has a happy ending. Again, we're probably going to debate that.
Does it?
Yeah, exactly. Does it? But it ends on what we'll call an up note rather than a down note, such as White Bear.
How would it not be a happy ending? I mean,
it's they're both totally fucking dead, and a copy of them is saved for posterity or some shit. Yeah, no, that's bad.
So eventually what happens is they get married in real life, Kelly and Yorkie. We find out that Yorkie is comatose, and she's been comatose since she was 18 years old. And her only chance at a real life is in San Junipero, but Kelly doesn't want to stay in San Junipero because her husband didn't. He died and didn't pass over.
Because he wanted to be with their daughter.
Yeah. And so there's, you know, there's some very, really wrenching scenes, and it's kind of left up in the air. When the episode ends, you find out that Kelly does decide to join Yorkie in San Junipero because heaven is a place on earth.
Yeah, that really let me down, that ending, honestly.
No, stop it. I took it as it wasn't just a copy. I mean, it's obviously a copy because they're not still jacked into the Matrix, but they spent so much time, you know.
Okay, no. You know what? Before you go farther, let's actually take that technology and look at it. So you look into it, you're playing a video game, which in which you're young, you fuck, you take drugs, you drink.
You can jump off buildings and not die.
It's awesome.
go through a car windshield and not a scratch.
Name it. Then you keep these memories when you come back. Once the body is not there anymore, you're an NPC. You're a non-playable character. Yep. That's it.
You think that the whole crossing over is fake?
You're leaving a copy for posterity, yes, but you're still dead. It's never going back in your brain. Once your brain stops working,
right? But it's still
you don't remember what it is. You are dead. So she got married and she died. Yes. That got me right away because, oh, great, they have two copies, and the other girl decided in the end that, okay, I'm going to keep a copy in there. Cool. I think I'm still with her husband and with her husband at that point. Fuck it. Why keep a copy?
Yeah, it's the whole point of uploading consciousness, and then at some point in time you put it into a thing. It is, if they save the memories going forward, why not? It knows everything you know when you go into it.
You beef like today. Right. If I don't put back these memory in that brain, it's not you. It's a copy of you. It is a sentient being and all that stuff.
How is it not me if it has the exact same memories I do? If the only thing that makes me me is my memories.
Because you don't wake up in the morning.
But that doesn't matter. That it would still then be me. My consciousness going forward would be in the system.
So it's 100% ego because you want to preserve your consciousness, even if you don't remember it.
I would argue that the whole idea of an afterlife is 100% ego. The idea that you go somewhere when you die, when your biological processes cease, that there's an idea of a soul, a concept of an afterlife, that's all ego. And it's all ego, and it's also fear. Because we're afraid of the dark. We're afraid of what happens when we die.
Save consciousness and a copy of you. I'm saying if they don't save your thoughts going or your memories going forward in there, maybe if every day is like Groundhog Day. But if I am uploaded to the cloud right the night before I die or something, and I don't remember stubbing my toe that morning that I died, okay, but it's still a copy of my quote unquote consciousness.
Still a copy of your consciousness. Yeah.
You're telling me in 50, in a million years or 100 years or whatever, we got robot bodies. We can transfer consciousness into that.
Can you come back out of San Junipero if the technology evolves?
Right.
Yes, we can get reincarnated, but again,
put you into run of the robot bodies.
Still you, though.
From Be Right Back.
It's
right?
Still you, though. If that is all your memories and all your thoughts, Be Right Back, all he had was his
Twitter account.
Accounts.
I give you that. It's your thought. It's everything that has been mapped a second before you die.
What else is me?
It's a second. You, what else is you? You know, tomorrow, if it's dark and you don't remember anything, because tomorrow you don't wake up, well, the thing that keeps going is
the
exact copy of you that will keep growing. it's a EU.
So,
but as a person, you just died.
Do you know about the theory with the transporter, which is it's really just a death machine?
Yeah, it kills like then make a copy and then it's like, don't put me in that shit.
Yeah.
No. If it's not space holding, I'm not doing it.
Yeah. I guess for me, one of the things I
never knew you had this thought.
Yeah.
Kind of blows my mind.
One of the things for me is, so once you're in San Junipero, if your children get old enough, can they join you? Can they visit you?
And then you don't know you fuck him? That would be weird.
You don't know you fuck them. I don't know about that.
No, because I think in there, it's like the mental image from the Matrix. So
yeah. Well, and I guess the other thing is you wouldn't choose if you grew up in 2018, you wouldn't choose to stay in 1980, right? Because that wouldn't be familiar to you or nostalgic to you.
Right.
So everyone kind of picks the era in which they live out that youth, which I think is actually really cool. And
well, would you really go back to the 80s/90s? I'm sorry, but I'm leaving my old days, the 60s.
Now that you know that. Well, and that's, I guess, another real interesting question. What if you wanted to try out, like, what if you were born in 1980 but always wanted to live in the 1950s? Could you go back that far?
Well, I think you can for sure.
She does it.
Yeah, that's true. She
looks at the coins in her hand when she goes to play video games, like, oh, how quaint.
Yeah, she was in a coma, though, for most of her life.
Since she was 18 or 20 or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, so she has no reference for all that. So the machine has already all that programmed in. And it's only one city, let's be honest. This is really more the Matrix than the Matrix.
Yes. Anyway, I really enjoy this episode. One, I think it's really an interesting concept. The idea that people believe in the afterlife is kind of interesting to me in terms of, like, just what does it mean? Like, what does it mean to say there's an afterlife?
When you want to go, you want to go, right?
Right.
Say you're not ready to die, so you want to be uploaded for a while. Yes, Wing thinks we're dead, but I think it's a copy of your consciousness. You go on. And then in 20, 50 years in there, you're like, you know what? I've done enough bullshit. I'm going to punch out.
Yeah. One of the things I love about this is, you know, humanity always wonders, like, well, how do we know the afterlife is real? Well, in this scenario, you get to test it out. You get to try out try before you buy, basically.
Pick different eras.
Which I think is really kind of cool. And the other thing
which
that
is
I absolutely...
cheap. The girl is in a freaking coma for 60 years. She has no life. And they're like, no, we're not putting you in that machine until you're really old and only 5 hours a week. Because, you could get used to that life. Well, you're quadriplegic.
But then they make the point that her parents won't sign for the to pull the plug.
That's why she's going to marry the janitor.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
but still, they could leave her that all day long instead of trying to, bargain to have 5 minutes on a Thursday afternoon.
Rules are rules, man. How much does San Junipero cost? They never really talk about that. Like, do you have to will your fortune to San Junipero, the company, or TCKR, which is the company that runs it? We find out at the end. Bar, by the way, is called Tucker's.
You give your inheritance to Apple, and it's your case. Did I say that? Yeah. No.
But anyway, I think this is good. The thing that I really love about this episode is the characters. I think this gives us some of the most fleshed out character development of any episode of Black Mirror.
Agreed.
And really, you fall in love with Yorkie and Kelly, and you want them to be together, and then it's heartbreaking when you think they're not going to be together, and then it gives you such a good catharsis when you find out they do get to spend heaven is a place on earth together. And that's kind of a twist on a twist, because Black Mirror, I think, sets you up for the really
pain.
Depressing the depressing catharsis.
The hammer is about to drop.
She's gonna
leave the thing. Kelly's gonna leave the upload place and accidentally trip and knock out the plug, and then she's gonna die, and everyone's gonna die.
She's gonna get hit by a bus and not get to not get to upload.
Yeah, I mean,
that would have been great.
Oh, wow.
No, come on. They're all sad. Let this, let there be a good one. Let the happy one.
Honestly, that the end of that one, that was cute, but I really...
She could still really, die.
Listen to me. I really bought into the, I'm not doing this because I've spent like 40 years with the same person and I believe in finding them back.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that. So when at the end she was just like, oh, let's do it. I was like, oh, they're just putting an happy end, but happy ending there, well, because it's easy.
But if your argument is it's not really you in San Junipero,
well, then yes, it's but just she a copy does of not your believe. Memories.
Why can't we have both?
Agreed, why, but she does not believe that. Okay. The character does not believe
We don't really know. She just says, okay, I guess it's time for whatever's next. So maybe she decides that she can upload her memories and her thoughts into San Junipero, but her soul goes somewhere else.
That's what I would think. Best that would of be both like,
worlds.
Sure.
Best of both worlds.
I would be, keep my copy. I'm going back to my husband. Fuck you.
Beef, do you want to ask me these questions here that I've highlighted, and then we'll move on?
I guess. All right. Well, you said you started at the beginning, right?
Yes.
All right. Is this your favorite episode of Black Mirror?
Or do you? I think it is my favorite. I will say that season 3 for me stands out in that I really like Nosedive. I really like Playtest. I really like Hated in the Nation. Aside from that, Be Right Back and the season 5 episode that we're going to talk about, I also really enjoy.
See,
I'm sorry, season 4.
Did Be Right Back hurt your soul, though, more or less than this one, San Junipero? Well,
so Be Right Back, for me, is the Be Careful What You Wish For.
Yeah.
Because you,
she's,
you know,
get screwed.
Yeah. And this one is, and I will say that Be Right Back is probably the second best character development that we get in Black Mirror, because you really get to see how those people tick, which is weird. But I think San Junipero does it a little bit more positively.
Okay, yeah, that's kind of what I was hoping, because it is true. Oh, my God. What's the moral of this episode?
Well, I think it's just the consideration of what the afterlife is, and definitely when you see at the end the blinking server farm, is that a better or worse afterlife to envision than what could really be? I mean, I think that's an okay thing. Heaven is a place on earth.
Do you think they're
a render farm? Heaven is a render farm.
Do you think they're backed up somewhere else in case of a power failure?
I mean, permadeath has to be a real thing, right? I mean, right. I also wonder if what the cost of that is. Like, is it solar powered? Is that running on fossil fuels? Are they basically trying to kill off their clientele so they have more clientele? I mean, you know, if your business is based on, or if you're a growth business on the basis of death, is that, what's the morality of that?
Yeah, right.
Dude, if at some point you're like, okay, in 85 years, nobody's going to remember these people. Just pull the plug on
just
two
pull
or
the plug.
Three.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, that's horrific.
No, that's business, man.
Do you think this episode connects or relates to other episodes of Black Mirror?
Well, spoilers, it does relate. So the technology that runs San Junipero, we'll see in Black Museum. It starts as the St. Juniper ward of a hospital where they're trying out some of this technology. And we see that play out.
Oh, my God. Why'd you have to tell me?
I don't know. I thought you watched that one.
I did. Yeah, I'm totally kidding. I've watched them all.
I'm the only one that could be spoiled, and I'm not going to watch another one. So okay. We're okay.
Did this episode still live up to rewatching since you knew the twist?
Yes. And in fact, this is one of the first, when I'm showing other people Black Mirror, this is one of the first episodes that I show you, or I show them usually after one like Be Right Back or the National Anthem, because it's a good, it softens the blow a little bit.
Yeah, that's, you're baiting them in with niceties and then slapping them with the rest
of
the season.
Okay, now let's watch this one. Now let's watch White Bear. But yeah, I really think this is a good, and again, knowing the episodes that you guys picked, I thought this was a good middle point to discuss.
Well, mine had an happy ending. Come on.
Of course it did. Probably the third happiest ending of Black Mirror.
People got pussies and dick. Come on. How is that not an happy ending?
Put us in the warp and let's go fuck off somewhere for a bit.
People got their pussy and dick back. Come on.
They did. They did. And they lived in the JJ verse happily ever after.
Except for the one, except for Jimmy Simpson, who decided to go reboot the engines and he didn't come back.
I thought he came back. Nope. For some reason, I remembered him as coming. All right, spoilers.
I watched for it again this time, and he does not come back.
And all right. Jillian is stuck on a planet somewhere.
All right, so the next episode is season 4, episode 1, USS Callister. Wing, walk us through this episode.
Again, I had no idea what that episode is, and it's basically a dude created a World of Warcraft, and he has his own version where he tortures all the people that's in it. But the people that's in it are copies based on DNA of the people he works with, and they're the exact copies of people, except with no genitalia.
Yeah, they're Ken dolls.
Yeah, and that introvert guy becomes like the evil god of evil.
This is basically the holodeck episode with Barclay of Star Trek The Next Generation, pretty much to the degree that he's a sociopath and, is a bad person.
This was the first episode I showed my girlfriend. I'm like, you like the old Star Trek, right? This should be good. We should have fun with this.
It gets you with it because it's so funny, the fact that he goes back to that and it's so cheesy as fuck, but... Yeah,
I mean, it's so great because how twisted he is, right? I mean,
so
could have been twisted for 15 minutes less, but sure. Oh,
so there's a juxtaposition that I love.
Yeah, you're right.
Here,
this one was a bit long.
Which is, this is a longer one. There's a juxtaposition, which is that he is clearly a sociopath. He basically in the game airlocks the kid's son, to make him toe the line.
And keeps, and you see that in the very first time he opens lollipop. That. You see the lollipop, because I've seen this one two or three times now, and it's lurking right there, Tommy.
That's the first thing I read. That was like, but Tommy, we don't have nobody called Tommy.
The universe that he creates is not driven by sex and violence, as you might imagine. It is wholesome, and... I mean, he kisses, never any tongue.
Yeah, I don't know. I have some wholesome addictions that are more, wholesome than that.
I see. But at the same time, there's very clearly, he is the god of this this world. It's all about giving him a power trip to these people that are people he knows in real life and has recreated.
Which is the scariest part. He traps their copies of their consciousness, because these are copies of consciousness, into his cloned off world just to torture, to basically, what is he? He covers her face and says, sitting there gasping for a breath for all eternity with no mouth.
That is pulled from a very good science fiction story called... For I have no mouth and I must scream. That visual, which is really kind of neat that they use it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
So I want to go back to Wing's proposal about San Junipero. So San Junipero, you willingly upload your consciousness to the cloud. In this, you're created as a clone from your DNA. You have all your memories and all of your personality traits.
But yeah, let's not talk about how you get memories from DNA. But
yeah, sure. I don't know how that works. But are you you?
No, fuck no. Again, you're a copy of you. Again, that copy is exactly like you and may have emotion and feel like crap, but it's not you. I mean, the other girl is not her. That's how they're able to blackmail her, because since they both have the same memories, quote unquote, the copy has the password to
and skills and everything.
Yeah, but if you make an exact copy of me, that's pretty much fucking me, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if I put you in front of each other, are you gonna know which one you are?
No, because
you're both gonna that's the trick of sentience. You're both gonna think you're the real you.
I'd start second guessing in about 5 minutes, and I'd be like, wow.
Wait, were you on the outside? Was I?
Yeah, who, what? Wait a minute. We remember the exact same thing, yeah, because then what distinguishes us, especially if there's a cloned body then, too?
That's the part that's difficult to understand, and I think I have difficulty to explain it as well. But, you know, the moment when it goes dark and it never goes back to light again, which is dying me, that's what I call dying. So, yes, cool, there's another me going around that's exactly like me in every way, shape, or form, reaction, everything you can imagine. But my light is off.
Okay, but now if there's another wing right now, exactly...
Good for him. I'm still fucking dead.
No, if you're alive, you're both alive.
You're alive.
Do you cease to be? Do you cease to be you, or is it completely not you at all? You're both the same exact thing, same memories.
At the second,
same futuristic body.
But the second our memories start to not be the same, the moment that I live on a ship with no genitalia or that I go back to work the next day to program my next day of video games,
you'd be wing A or wing B.
Exactly, you have wing A and wing B. So at that moment, they are becoming two different person because they're starting to accumulate different experience. But still, the point of you being you, like waking up in the morning, yeah, cool, there's another copy of you that's going to be able to continue what you started. You still won't remember it because the light never came back on.
So if I die for 1 minute because I have sleep, or 10 seconds each night because I have sleep apnea, and I wake up again... Is that ceased to be me? Because it went black, but yet I'm waking up with all my consciousness and everything intact. That's kind of...
Now my brain I want to go back to this episode.
Okay, do that.
And the way it handles Star Trek, because it's very clear.
I own the DVD. Hang on. I own the VHS, the Blu-ray, or the DVD, the Blu-ray, all seasons 1-6. Netflix has it all nowadays. Great joke.
What do you think this says, Wing, about Star Trek and its fandom?
They're able to... it says that they're very, very... they're, like, intricate in their fandom. They know it in and all, but that's the point where I could not keep going with a Star Trek fan. I don't think a Star Trek fan would be that evil.
No, I think that's true. Because
he would have learned the good thing about Space Fleet and would have
seen
grown up
the reaction to Star Trek Discovery.
I love Star Trek Discovery.
I know you do. But have you seen the reaction from quote unquote Star Trek fans who say,
"Well, people seem to hate it, but
how dare you have a black lead, female lead? How dare you do this and that and this
and
that?"
People still say that in 2018.
People still say that in 2018.
She's phenomenal in that. I just finished that a couple weeks ago.
Oh, she's so good in this. I'm going to miss Lorca so much.
Yeah. What do you think about how this handles the questions of, you know, if it's your own private playground, does that, like, what does that say about you, how you treat...
The fact that your own private playground seems to need to have like sentient being in it is the sociopathic part. Because I have to be honest, I have an app. It's called Pocket Gods, and I torture these little people. That's why the app is for. And I do. And I was watching that episode, and I was thinking of my little Pocket Gods getting like a lightning strike for no freaking reason.
Getting your password to your iPicture account and sending it.
Oh, they would screw me up so much.
Oh my God, the line. Hang on, where they keep like clicking each one over and going, "Oh wow," and turning their heads. And he's like, "Do you think this one will work?" And Jimmy Simpson goes, "Any of the last nine will do."
Yeah, because you're the only one they show you is like, okay, side boobs
and
side
like a butt, like the butt picture.
And,
yeah,
and then they go,
to go back to Pocket Gods. If you watch the episode Hang the DJ, that'll really make you think about your smartphone app.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so I saw that as very extreme if he knows that they have these emotions, and he does because he needs...
But he also knows that they're DNA copies.
And he can do it again.
Keeps them in his, yeah, he can do it again. Exactly. He can replace them.
That's the part that was very fucking creepy. So, the other part is that this guy is that the worst sociopath, but he's not a sexual predator whatsoever.
Right, right.
Because building people with no genitalia. And that's what breaks her up. They stole her pussy. She was really mad about that.
You also don't know if he's got another mod for that.
Right. Right, and he might have dozens of each of these people in that Starfleet mod, but as the other thing different things.
They're like, oh no, he has the DNA. He has a backup.
Yeah.
He has this guy has a backup.
Well, he's dead now, or he will be soon.
Well, I want to talk about that in a second.
How the hell a game would do that?
We'll talk about that in a second. So the whole backstory here is that the game Infinity is getting a big update, and because this is kind of a pocket universe in Infinity, it's going to get wiped out, and they have an opportunity to escape through a wormhole into the main game.
Well, they think they're committing suicide.
They're going to die. Yeah, they think they're going to die.
But so they go through the wormhole. They end up. Everything changes, and this is probably
there's lots of lens flare.
It's the uniforms are different. Everything's cleaner. I love how this episode plays with visual style from the original series to the J.J. Abrams reboot.
Yep. They do it really, really, really well. And they do it well with the characters as well, because you start with the douche captain that just thinks about kissing everyone, which is clearly Kirk, and you end up with Michael Burnham.
Basically. Let's fuck off somewhere else.
That's so yep. great.
Stick us into
Hyperwarp and let's fuck off somewhere.
Did you guys recognize the voice of what is it, Gamer Dude 69 or whatever?
Yes, Aaron Paul.
Yeah, from Breaking Bad.
Oh, yes. That wasn't Breaking Bad, dude. Oh, yeah. That's the thing where we're like, no, but because we're both big gamer, no gamer would call himself Gamer 69. Yeah. What the hell? But they would go. Yeah, you want to trade or blow each other up?
Come on. In a new update, you never know. Someone might just be like at the game. You know, the name generator. Boop. I don't know. It was fun to hear him screaming at
casuals
him.
Casuals everywhere. All right, so Wing, is this your favorite episode of Black Mirror that you have watched so far?
No.
What's your favorite?
The one just we talked about.
Okay, San Junipero.
Yes.
What's the moral of this episode in your mind?
Don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick.
Because even your online profile can bite your ass.
Do you think he is dead at the end? Matt Damon, I mean, Jesse Plemons.
Okay, I'm not crazy.
No, he's the poor man's Matt Damon.
Yeah, okay, he sounds like Matt Damon. Okay. I think that they want to tell us he's dead because they showed him so bad all along, so they need some resolution for the viewer. But it makes no sense that a Xbox kills you. So
yeah, it doesn't. Yeah, it doesn't. Because if you're playing the game and the power goes out or there's a surge or something, you don't want to have the game kill you. I think we've all been playing whether it's a PC game and your PC reboots or you're playing Xbox.
But now hear me on this. The only way in and out of his pocket universe of the game was his tricorder, right?
And it's an illicit mod.
And it got his permissions and that pocket universe were getting deleted. Okay, so now he can't get out of the game, and he just told the pizza dude to fuck off, and he put his door on Do Not Disturb. And it's the Christmas weekend after the update. No one's gonna check on him, and he ain't gonna be in to, like, he's dead. If he's not dead now, he's just gonna dehydrate and die within 3-4 days.
That's why I'm saying the show wants you to think he's dead. But as my personal headcanon for that whole episode of 115 minutes, I'm gonna say that he's not dead. He's going to wake up the next day when his Xbox reboots.
One hell of a hangover.
Yeah, because there's no way that the FDA let that go, that you have a machine that if it doesn't reboot correctly, you're fucked.
It's his game.
It's his game, and he created an illicit mod. So he probably turned off some of the safety protocols.
He made the whole setup, and then he made a pocket version of it for himself at home that was separated.
I don't buy that these things wouldn't have like two or three different redundancy for to make sure that you don't die.
But this isn't the street version of the game. This isn't the vanilla version of the game. It's his private.
Listen, even the developer kit that was given to them by Microsoft has something so that their developer does not die.
Okay. All right.
That's the only thing in that episode that I'm gonna really reject. I don't think that guy should die at the end, because what really would happen at the end of this, he would be pissed. His server would be like all done for the next 10-15 days. He would play something else, and then he would go back to work and get back to these rims again, because it's really fucking easy to do.
Yeah.
Oh, how creepy that he had specimen kits and gloves in his desk.
Yeah, and one of the girls tells him that he's another watcher, but a starer or something like that. Yep. He stares because he wants to know when you're out so he can steal your DNA and rebuild you to abuse you in non-sexual ways.
Yes. Do you think this episode has... I think I already asked you that.
He's totally going to die.
Yeah, totally going to die. Do you think that this connects to any other episodes of Black Mirror that we've talked about?
That could be in the same universe as Saint Junipero. It's the same kind of...
And in fact, they make a reference to it, I think. At least the thing that goes on the side of your head is very similar.
Well, for me, all three episodes have the same technology, mostly.
The brain erasing seems a lot more painful than the brain uploading.
The brain interface.
Yeah, but they don't care about her. They're not trying to sell her a product. They're trying to make her suffer. So they're like, here's the first thing we invented that's really going to be very painful. We're going to sell the gamer the very cool shit.
The brain interface is pretty much a staple of 50% of these episodes.
Yeah.
40%.
So that actually leads me to a good question, which is, what do you see from the episodes you've watched as an overarching theme for Black Mirror?
Everybody lives in their technology and forgets the real world. The real world. I think that's what they're trying to say in every one of these episodes.
Okay, good.
That's it.
Beef, what do you think? Overarching theme.
We are all horrible people at our base, especially when we're lumped together. I mean... Yeah. Because, like, they even said after a while, hang on, even in San Junipero, like they said, if you've been here too long or you've been here long enough, you're down at the quagmire doing whatever the fuck you want just to feel something.
And getting in the fight cage.
Yes. No offense, but if you were living there, you would have piercing everywhere.
I already... do, Wang.
Yeah,
I mean,
ends my point. Put 50 more years in there.
Wait a minute. We're living in the Matrix, is what you're telling me?
Yeah.
What?
Damn it.
This is San Junipero. Oh, man. One of the things I definitely see is this deals with how technology exposes some flaws that I think we as individuals aren't prepared for. There are episodes of Black Mirror that deal very closely with
memory.
With memory, but also, even though we have this technology, we don't always have the full picture. Mm-hmm. I will point to Shut Up and Dance, and The Entire History of You as an example of that. So both of those deal with knowledge and the idea that knowledge over someone else is power, but at the same time, that knowledge can also be used as a weapon and for destructive or self-destructive ends. And I think another thing is society and how technology makes it easier to kind of have this collective conscience. The Waldo Moment, 15 Million Merits, National Anthem, Hated in the Nation, Nosedive, all deal with that that kind of idea. So that's really kind of interesting to play with.
Yeah, yeah, they're all soul-crushing, and, you know,
yes.
Some are okay, better than others, but they are, I don't know, it's a good anthology. If you like anthologies and shit with technology and you want to feel better and worse about life at the same time, check a few of them out.
All right, so speaking of rating and mass judgment, we should rate these three episodes. And I think for our purposes, we'll just have an up or down vote. So please express your emotions with the following options: smiley face, monkey loves you, or sad face, monkey needs a hug. How about white bear, beef?
Well, I chose it, so monkey loves you, for sure.
Wing?
So monkey needs a hug. I had to reread what the episode was about before the show because I didn't remember.
All right, I'm also going to go with monkey needs a hug. San Junipero, I'll go first. Monkey loves you.
Yeah, monkey loves you.
Monkey loves you.
Okay. USS Callister, Wing.
Monkey needs a hug.
I will go monkey loves you.
Monkey creepily loves you.
Monkey loves a copy of you based on your whatever he got from the bathroom.
When man, Jimmy Simpson,
you have
is,
to bring that up.
When Jimmy Simpson is sitting there slapping his mound just to feel anything.
Yeah. I like when he's banging his head. There's our Westworld weekly connection, by the way. Jimmy Simpson, yep. A.K.A. spoilers.
Don't do it. Don't do
the
it.
The man who beats his head against the bulkhead turn it into a hobby.
When is that coming back? That must be soon. Yep. I feel like I watched that like a year
one month,
ago or
one
something.
Month.
Yep.
Okay.
1 month. 1 month.
It's replacing Game of Thrones. Okay.
All right. I want everybody to... So we talked about three episodes. Make one recommendation for the second episode, or I guess fourth, fifth, and sixth episode that people should watch. I will go first and say you should watch Playtest because... For an episode all about fear, it truly gets to the heart of what someone's deepest fear could be.
I will go... Fuck, I don't want to pick one. I'm going to go two, because that's what I do. Crocodile or Archangel. Both will fuck with you horribly and for different reasons. Both are about children or have to do with children in some way, shape, or form, and people making... horrible choices all around. Good. Yeah, so you know, it's technology that's disgustingly bad.
Wing, choose from the list one you haven't seen that you want to check out next.
I think you should watch the first episode of Enterprise. I think that's a really good show, and that's a show that people let down really, really fast because they were not down with the idea that it was before Kirk. But I really think you should watch the pilot of Enterprise. It's a great show.
I think he meant Discovery, and I think for this
Enterprise.
I think for this show he is saying
for Wing,
I think he's saying Hated in the Nation.
Yes.
If you want to see how bad that we are getting with all of our likes and emojis and tweets and hashtags.
So remember, you can tweet at Legends Podcast, hashtag Death to Wing.
Sure.
Oh, ouch.
Don't do that. Don't do that. That's from Hated in the Nation, Wing. He doesn't really mean it.
Again, we could talk about Black Mirror all night, but I think we should talk about what, Beef?
I think you should watch something else.
News time.
Just saying, I think you should watch something else. The new season of Jessica Jones is amazing also.
Jessica Jones is good.
Yeah.
I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, there's a lot of good show on TV. You don't need to watch Black Panther.
There's a lot of good movies in the movie theater called Black Panther, which spent its weekend.
We wanted to go to the movie last week, and we're like, okay, there's Black Panther. There's Black Panther, there's Game Night, there's Red Sparrow, and there's a showing at Tomb Raider.
Yes. Black Panther spent its fifth weekend at number one. It's the first film to hold number one for five weekends since Avatar from 2009. It is now over $600 million domestically, passing The Dark Knight and becoming the second biggest comic book adaptation behind 2012's The Avengers. And Black Panther is only $18 million behind that number one spot, which it will probably make in the next week.
Yeah, do you think it'll...
Definitely.
Is there a time limit on that?
No, well, it's theatrical run.
Okay,
so
in the next 2 weeks, it's going to crush that.
Absolutely. It's going to be the biggest comic book movie of all time until Avengers Infinity War. Black Panther is also now at $1.2
billion
worldwide. So, I mean, this
it's a juggernaut.
Big money. Tomb Raider.
Wait, wait.
Trivia question.
How many weeks did Avatar stay on number one?
Avatar stayed at number one for, I'm going to click on some links. You're going to hear me going.
Beef just guessed since he's actually
13.
You know what? You're actually pretty close. I think it's 15.
All right. So we're going for...
Nobody's ever going to beat that. Let's be honest. Not in this
new... Most weekends at number one. Are you ready?
Yep.
Avatar was number one for 7 weeks.
Only seven?
What? That's 12th place. Any guesses for the top movie total number of one weekends?
Jurassic Park.
Wrong.
Well, how Jurassic Park Star beat Wars. Avatar, though?
Come
on. No, come on. Where's Jurassic Park, the original one on there? Don't lie to me. Or Independence Day.
Jurassic Park is on the list. Scrolling down.
Shut up.
Scrolling down.
Then the first Independence scrolling Day.
Scrolling down. 78 on the list. Yeah. Jurassic Park. Nope. Wing, you have to know this trivia.
If it's not Star Wars, I'm really impressed.
Okay. All right. So, the longest stretch of number one weekends belongs to a movie that was released in 1982.
Gone in the Wind.
Okay. E.T. 1982.
1982.
The Extraterrestrial spent 16 weekends at number one. 16. 16.
Wow.
16.
Wow.
That would be how many months?
4 months.
Four months. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
My brain. Titanic is number two at 15. Beverly Hills Cop and Tootsie at 14.
Wait. 12. Beverly Hills Cop?
Yep. And Tootsie.
And Tootsie?
What was the other movie somebody threw out?
Top Gun, Titanic. I'm reading them now. Wait, I got a different list here. I have the total top 10 weekends. E.T. was in the top 10 for 44 weekends.
Oh, my 15 weeks. Oh, I was Titanic, looking. Oh,
guys, I'm a dumbass.
Yeah, because I was looking. Your list isn't worse.
I was looking at this most number one weekends. If we want to go consecutive number one, okay?
Yeah, Avatar is 7, but Titanic is 15.
Yeah.
Followed by fucking Beverly Hills Cop.
Here's your Beverly Hills Cop and Tootsie.
What the? No movies were coming out in these days.
People wanted to see in 1984 other than Eddie Murphy.
Wow.
Terminator 2.
So anyway, we're getting our stats from boxofficemojo.com, which you can check out at your leisure. Flop alert, Tomb Raider opens at number 2 with an abysmal $23 million. However, it is killing it overseas and has made over $100 million in foreign markets, which I think is good.
I hear it's pretty good. I hear it's one of the best video game movies out there. So we'll talk about it in January next year.
Yeah, that's not a high bar.
I threw a little piece of news down at the very bottom that since we're talking about flop alert, Justice League quietly ended its domestic box office run with a total gross of a little over $229 million, making it the lowest grossing film in the new DCEU.
Yeah.
Have you tried to rewatch that since they released it? The first hour I was going through and I was like, oh my god, this movie is long. Then they start like hitting each other. So I'm okay when they're all hitting each other. But the first hour is so long. It's crazy.
Dude, it was $183 million behind.
Wonder I just Woman. Want to go back and rewatch the scene where I'm convinced that it was only Batman and Wonder Woman in the scene, and then they cut it together with Flash and Aquaman.
Like
and
leaning over somewhere in the Batcave for 2 seconds.
Yeah. I want to go back and
clearly. Yeah. I was rewatching that and I was like, nobody's there.
Yeah. All right. So news wise, we have actually a bunch of news. San Junipero. I want to start with this. Mackenzie Davis, who played Yorkie in San Junipero on Black Mirror. She's also on Halt and Catch Fire. She was in Terminator 2059. She is in the lead.
You mean Blade Runner 2049, and she will be in Terminator.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Blade Runner 2049.
That's awesome. You said Terminator 2059.
Okay, good. So she's going to be in the Terminator reboot.
Reboot?
And she's going to be the robot. She is going to be the robot, too.
So that'll be cool.
Is she?
Yeah.
Maybe.
It says
who
right
cares
here.
Cares about Terminator
Arnold Schwarzenegger
anymore?
And Linda Hamilton are returning as well.
Great. So it I can right watch here. Another Terminator that sucks. Great.
Yep. So I think that's cool. I think Mackenzie Davis is a good actress, as evidenced by her being in things that I like Blade Runner 2049,
yep.
Black Mirror, and Halt and Catch Fire.
Okay. Again, who cares about Terminator at this point? Even Beef must be like done with Terminator.
No, I'll still watch it, but
Terminator for me peaked with the Sarah Connor Chronicles.
I agree.
High five. That high five.
That was the best, and then it got worse from there.
Yeah.
I gotta watch that again, and I think I own the Blu-ray for both seasons.
Yeah. Netflix. I think Netflix has it now, but
oh, they fucking just, probably do.
No, I'm just kidding.
Do you have it in VHS, DVD?
Yeah. No.
Now it's on Netflix.
Hey, I've seen your collection of Star Wars things.
I only have them in DVD right now, so I don't know what you're seeing.
Mm, okay. Uh-huh. Danny Boyle is confirmed to direct Bond 25. Wayne, you are the resident Bond expert. Tell us about this.
Well, at this point, it seems that in the Daniel Craig era, the odd number are the good movies,
okay.
And the even numbers kind of suck.
Okay.
So
this should be good?
This one should be good. And let's face it, Danny Boyle has always been a fan, and he always said he didn't have it in him to actually write a James Bond movie. Well, he's getting there with mostly a written script that he just has to adapt. So I think we're in for something fun. And since that is the exit of that Daniel Craig as well, we know. I think he's going to be able to close the loop. Yeah, well, basically, if you just take the odd numbers, you're just taking like Casino Royale, Skyfall, and the next one. I think we're going to have a great trilogy in there. Yeah. Just forget about Quantum of Solace.
Solace.
And, well, I'll be
Spectre.
Honest. Spectre is a guilty pleasure. I know it's a bad movie, but sure. it's a guilty pleasure.
It's the greatest hits, man. It's hard to argue with that.
Exactly.
One of the things I'm excited for, I guess the two words in this headline, Danny Boyle to direct Bond 25. The two words I'm most excited about are Danny Boyle, because I think he is talent. I am a staunch advocate when people ask for a recommendation for a good sci-fi movie they haven't seen. I say, have you seen Sunshine?
Oh, it's so good.
So definitely check that out if you have not.
Yeah, you should.
But
have we reviewed that on this show? I don't think so.
No, but we're fucking gonna.
We should.
I will add it to the list right now, jerks.
I think we should do it in the middle of summer.
Yeah,
what
agreed.
Better time to talk about Sunshine?
Okay.
Yeah, add it to the list. But yeah, I think Danny Boyle doing this is exciting. I'm hoping that he brings in. I don't know who would you want him to see bring into the cast? Danny Boyle regulars.
Oh my God! I'll be honest. Except Cillian Murphy, I don't really care.
All right, you know who I want to see him bring in? Robert Carlyle, because I think
he's
Robert
already been in the James Bond movie.
I say ignore it.
I know they did that with a couple of James Bond girl, but he does not have the attribute needed.
I think that if you brought Robert Carlyle in now, no one would remember that he played the bald guy in that one. I don't even remember which one it was. Tomorrow Never Dies.
Renard in the World Is Not Enough.
World Is Not Enough. Fine. I say bring him in. How cool.
I think he had a really big role to bring him back. But yes, he's a very good actor. If you're asking me, yes, he's a very good actor. And am I for putting more talent in a James Bond movie? I'm for putting more talent in any movies. So, yes, I think that's a great choice. But I haven't seen Cillian Murphy playing a Bond villain yet.
Was it Michelle Yeoh in Sunshine, too?
Tomorrow Never Died in Sunshine.
Tomorrow Never Dies, yeah. Chris Evans was in Sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, the cast was, like, crazy when you look at it today.
Yep. The ending of the movie was too heady for a lot of people.
What, Sunshine? Was,
yeah, oh, my God.
Oh, my God, I have to think. What are we going to do?
The light's too bright. I don't know what to do. All right. Let's take it back to DC for a second. Just a second. I think
that's a joke,
That's a joke. I think we can read from Justice League's poor performance. DC has greenlit Ava DuVernay to direct the New Gods.
So they've seen Wrinkle in Time.
They've seen Wrinkle in Time.
And they gave her a diss.
But they've also seen Justice League. So
okay.
Take those two factors into consideration.
So we're going to get another mess. That's what you're saying.
I don't know. I think you could do something with the New Gods and have it be interesting. And
that's your DC space Game of Thrones. Agreed.
Exactly. Do it.
I've seen what she did with $100 million.
Have you seen Zachary Levi dressed up as Captain Marvel Shazam?
Yeah.
In his muscle suit? Okay. Again, I'm not passing any judgment. I'm just saying there's a reason why it's not Man of Steel 2. It's not Justice League 2. It's not the Batman that's been promised like forever. But it's Wonder Woman 2, New Gods, and Shazam.
Well, and Aquaman, and there's a couple of other projects in the works right now.
Whatever happened to Cyborg?
But
Joss
wait,
Whedon's not going to do Batgirl.
No, Cyborg is on the shelf right now. But
he's recharging.
Yeah, DCWB basically renewed all of their administrative people, all the CEOs and everything. So now
they're basically taking a gap year and saying, okay, let's give some people let's give some no name properties to directors who we like, and maybe they can spin off a Guardians of the Galaxy, but if not, no sweat. It's not our banner properties.
Yeah, well, yeah, something like that. And the fact that right now they've hired like an Asian woman to deal with the DC filmed part of Warner Brother, and that the first thing she does is actually like hiring another woman and different people that are known to the DC circle is something that's positive. It's the name of the franchise that she's attached to it versus what she can do with something that complex. That
And remember, Ava DuVernay was once in talks to direct Black Panther.
Thank God she didn't.
I think that there's... I think that there's a win in there somewhere. All right, let's spin it back to Marvel. So we're going to talk about the Avengers Infinity War trailer in a second. When the trailer dropped, also pre-sale tickets went on sale for Avengers Infinity War. Now we've talked about in the last few months how the Fandango pre-sale metric has kind of become an early indication of box office performance. We're now looking at these Fandango numbers and saying, I think this film's going to do pretty good at the box office. Avengers Infinity War broke Fandango's 24-hour pre-sale record in just 6 hours.
Wait, it's not the record. It's the record for a comic book movie.
I think it's the record for any movie.
Check out.
Did you?
Because when I read most of the article, I was like, oh, that's clickbait. Fuck. I was really hoping they were beating Star Wars. They haven't beat Star Wars.
Did you hear did you hear the or see the little clip of the video for the new Spider-Man that he may have predicted or they showed on the screen when the date of the second Avengers trailer would come out when he enters the bodega and he puts the gummy bears or whatever up on the counter? The expiration date is that they zoom in on the expiration date. And that is the date that the Avengers 2 the second trailer came out.
And they just moved up the release date, so how did they know?
Uh-huh.
Oh my God. Okay. I think that I'm going to go on record and say whatever Black Panther has done at the box office that has kind of upended the way we think about movies.
Avengers is going to do it twofold.
Avengers is going to do it twice.
You
think?
I know.
I honestly.
We'll talk about the trailer later.
All right. One last good little bit of news. Disney, in a case of art imitates life, life imitates art. Disney is using some of the funding that it's gotten from Black Panther's success to open a STEM center in Oakland, just like they did in the movie.
So cool.
Very cool. All right, we have three trailers to talk about. What order do you want to go in?
Let's keep the big one for the end.
Okay. So we'll save the Crimes of Grindelwald for the end, is what yes. you're saying, right?
So let's start with the one I didn't watch, Sicario 2, because I don't want to be spoiled, so I didn't watch it on purpose.
It was a spoilerific trailer, I will say. Beef, did you watch it?
Oh, so thank God I didn't... Well, you saw the movie.
It is a spoilerific trailer, and I did see the movie, which I'm sworn to secrecy about. So. Okay,
so based on the trailer... Is this a fair representation of the movie?
Yes, it shows that the tension is up and it keeps it going. Yes, it is a fair representation.
Based on the trailer, Beef, I'm tapping the side of my nose. Based on the trailer, is this a movie that you think we should go see?
Oh, for sure.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I mean, the trailer's awesome. Why would you not go see it based on the trailer?
Based on the trailer
alone. You know what? Based on the trailer alone, it feels a lot like the first movie. Minus, you know, Emily Blunt.
One of the issues I had with the trailer is it looks like they're going to try to redeem Benicio del Toro's character after he was a huge dick to Emily Blunt in the first one. I don't know if I'm okay with that.
I think Emily Blunt's arc was over in the first movie, but Benicio del Toro's arc was in the middle.
Okay.
He got the revenge, but how do you go from revenge to having a purpose in life? Okay. So
I thought at the end of the first one, though, it was more like showing you that she wasn't the first one that they'd done this to.
True. Very true.
You know what I mean?
And it looks like he might be next in the trailer for Sicario Day of the Soldado. Wouldn't it be Dia de los Soldado? I have a hard
time. Yes, yes. This bugs me every day.
All right. Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald teaser trailer.
Who cares?
I didn't see the first one, and I have no... I think they said Dumbledore. Wasn't he like someone from the first set of movies?
Jude Law is in Dumbledore, and Johnny Depp is Grindelwald.
I know.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to say something that's going to be not that well received, but I don't care.
I don't think that's stretching it too far. I mustered up the desire to care about the first one and went to see it. And then I was kind of like, eh. And seeing
I saw it on Netflix.
Yeah, seeing the trailer for this, I'm more excited about Jude Law as young Dumbledore than any of the returning actors from Fantastic Beasts. So I guess it's a thing. I don't know. We'll see.
We need the soundboard for the Infinity War second trailer because we need the Shang scream.
All right.
So, we're talking about that little movie, that little blimp of a movie that nobody's going to go see.
Pre-sale breaking. Internet meme generating. I mean, the memes that have already come out just from this trailer, just from this one trailer, are insane.
Yeah.
See, I thought
I agree.
I don't even know how to describe it. I was kind of like, meh. You know, the last Avengers movie wasn't the greatest. I saw the last trailer and I went, okay, it looks pretty good. I'm a little more excited now. And then this trailer dropped. And I am so fucking excited now.
Okay, it's the same thing for me, and I know I'm going to get out of there, and I know exactly what I'm going to say about this movie. It was like, oh, it's another Avengers movie. But they get me every time with the trailer.
People are going to die. God damn it, people are going to die.
I'm all excited and shit, but I know I'm going to get out of the movie, and I'm going to be like, Marvel did it again. They got me to see another one of their fucking Marvel movies.
Yep.
And I'm not going to be more happy about it than I was when I got out of Black Panther, where I was like, it's the best one they made. Yet in that style, but it's still the same kind of movie. I'm sure they're gonna get me again. I hate them.
Tony Stark's gonna
trick
die.
You. They're gonna get your money, and then you're gonna say, "God damn it! Now they want me to go see Ant-Man and the Wasp."
That's the movie I'm the most excited about this year, and the Marvel schedule, which everybody's like, "Wait, what?" But I laughed in the first Ant-Man. That was fun.
It was fun. This trailer and the scale of the film that they're setting up, to me, it's like Civil War, which obviously we got a sense of the scale of Civil War because they set up the airport fight in the trailers for us. But just the idea of you've got all the Avengers, you've got all these sort of second string Avengers that are coming in, Doctor Strange, Black Panther, Spider-Man.
Where's Hawkeye?
Where is Hawkeye? And you've got your mainstay, Quill, your lead.
Quill yapping to Tony Stark.
Yeah, then you bring in Guardians of the Galaxy.
The little bit at the end with Spider-Man and fucking Doctor Strange.
Your plan is great, except it sucks.
So why don't I do the plan and then we'll be good.
No, we'll have a chance of being good.
And I love, like you said, Beef, I love that bit at the end where he's like, I'm Peter, Doctor Strange.
I
see we're using our made-up names. Right. Well, in that case, I'm Spider-Man.
So good. Well,
it's his fucking name, Doctor
Strange. It's his actual name and his actual title. His title is Doctor, his last name is Strange.
Yeah, but he could have said Dr. Stephen Strange or whatever. I get why he was a little shitty.
He's not going to say I'm Steve. Yeah, but there's already a Steve.
But on the other end, true. It points out one thing. These people are way too conveniently named.
Well, and they're such different personalities. I love that they're still going to play the quirky kid part.
I love that Doctor Strange still seemed to be a dick. And every time I've seen him, I don't like that character. Yeah. He's a dick. So, he is,
and I actually really enjoy him for that. But,
agreed.
Again, the scale of this film, the stuff that they're setting up, Thanos is going to arm wrestle Captain America. He's going to crush Thor's head. He's going to squash the Tesseract in his hand.
The Hulkbuster.
The second generation Hulkbuster, Thanos Buster.
You want to know how to end all that stuff? You remember in Thor Ragnarok when Loki is falling forever because of Doctor Strange?
Yep.
You do one of those for all of the Infinity Stone and then you go back to bed.
Yeah, there you go.
Whatever. God damn it. I just forgot. What's with the little green person's hand? Is that like Hulk's baby? Did he have a baby on Ragnarok? I think
that's Gamora.
Young Gamora. Yeah. So Gamora, it seems like he's going to have some stuff to do. Shit. And she's going to fill in the backstory of Thanos. Now, one of the things we get from this trailer is that Thanos' plan is to kill half the people in the universe. And then balance things
equation.
Out. Yeah, balance the equation. So that's kind of something that we haven't heard before. You'd think she'd be like, oh, yeah, Thanos, my dad wants to kill half the people in the universe. Well, thanks for telling us. Thanks for warning us.
A little warning would have been nice, sweetie.
Wait, everybody knows he's a badass that wants to kill everyone.
Well, everybody knows he's a badass.
I think that's the first time that she's realizing that he has the means, too.
So here's the thing about badasses. Usually, your big villain wants to kill everyone or no one, and they just want power for themselves. They want to rule over everything. So usually it's, I want to kill everybody, or I want to kill nobody, but to kill 50%, like a nice square half
he's
off.
He's not an overachiever. He's able to live with just half the job done.
He knows his limits, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I respect him for that. I think I respect Thanos for
his motto growing up was why full ass it when you can half ass it?
Exactly. And yes, I'm pretty sure that that's young Gamora that we've seen in that thing and that we're going to... I think people are going to be let down by this
now
movie.
Now that we see that, do you think that Hulk and Gamora are going to have some sweet green love?
No.
But I think, what if there's like some random kid from the Ragnarok planet where time is wrong and then, I don't know. I'm just saying, maybe he's got his own Hulkbuster.
I think Hulk is going to be in a Hulkbuster, though. I think Hulk, as Bruce Banner, going to get into a Hulkbuster, do that as best as he can. And when he has to get out of there, he's going to keep fighting.
Ooh.
That's my prediction for this Avenger movie. Also, Captain America with the beard.
Hulkbuster, but we also see Tony Stark on another planet meeting the Guardians of the Galaxy. So, Captain America with a beard. Also, my favorite meme, I think, to come out of this trailer is Thanos trying to squash Captain America and going, how are you so strong? And Captain America says, dude, I'm 90 years old and I've never had sex.
You know what I love the most about all that is that Thanos is the he's basically the ultimate bully. That's what he is. And
yes,
I rewatched Captain America. Yeah, but I rewatched Captain America 1 this weekend just because.
He could do this all day.
Yeah, and Captain America, yeah, they ask him, why do you want to fight? It's like, I don't care about fighting Nazi, I just don't like bullies. Mm-hmm. And then I saw the trailer and I was like, oh my god, they're actually following
through. Well, and we know that Captain America is a secret Nazi from Secret Empire, so.
Oh yeah, of course, he's the next Red Skull. Yeah.
Okay, next time.
Anyway, this movie is going to be big, 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 and...
He's going to be huge for 3 weeks. I'm not sure it's going to make Black Panther numbers.
It's not going to be number one for 5 weeks.
Hey, I'll take that.
It might only be number one for 4.
There's going to be a Star Wars movie coming out, Beef. Star Wars movie.
I'll still take that quarterback.
Solo movie where there was... two directors, three directors.
Hey, even I don't if it's, care. It's hey, a Star Wars
Even if movie. It's not number one for 5 weeks in a row or 7 weeks in a row, if Solo beats it for a week or two, this is going to have a lot more staying power because this is...
not with people, everything that's coming out after. Right now, Black Panther has nothing to fight against.
True, true. I don't know.
They had a Tomb Raider that they killed and they have a Pacific Rim next week that I think... it's weird to say, but it's going to be a good fight between a new movie and one that's six weeks old.
I'm still telling you, this is going to make cash. It's going to make at least Black Panther money because it's Avengers again. They're back. I swear. They're going to make it.
Do you want to put a quarter on it?
I'll put a quarter on it.
I will put a quarter on Beef's side.
After two months, how about this? After 8 weeks, we'll call it. We'll call both of them.
We call it at the end of the year, which one of Black Panthers or Infinity War made more money. I still think Black Panther would have beat it.
All right. Next time, Pacific Rim.
The original recipe.
I guess we skipped it, but last word on Black Mirror and all that chisel?
Meh.
No, what's the opposite of meh?
Yay.
We control the horizontal and the vertical. Do not adjust your television set. Your black mirror is actually the blank screen on your phone, on your smartphone.
I don't want to hear about vertical anymore.
Watch it. Okay, anyways, this has been episode 365 of Legends Podcast. I'm saying give it a try. They'll all make you feel weird and uncomfortable, but sometimes that happens.
Go watch Star Trek Discovery. It's great.
I am saying watch Black Mirror or I will hashtag death to you.
Or Orphan Black. Anything with black that's not Black
Anything
Mirror.
With black in the title. Black Beauty, Black Stallion, Black Panther.
I actually bought the first two seasons of the reboot of Outer Limits after I started watching this.
Good. There's another one on Amazon, Electric Dreams, which I have to check out.
I haven't seen it yet, but I hear it's good.
Yeah, cool.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to leave us feedback, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Legends Podcast. For all our contact information, as well as other shows, look to GunnaGeek.com and KrakenCast.com. You can also visit LegendsPodcast.Lipson.com, where you'll find our complete archives. The music heard on this podcast is Danger Storm by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at incomputech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of each individual host and do not represent Legend Stream Canada, Gunna Geek, or Kraken Cast. No infringement is intended.